wound up, and your nerves will get frayed if you're not careful. But hey, man, when we're in the house of the Lord, it just seems like it ought to be a praise every now and then, and a thank you, Jesus, and a hallelujah. And I know we do it in our heart, and that's where it matters. But sometimes we vocalize, amen, our appreciation. And, you know, I don't know why preachers need amens. I don't know. I wish I didn't. I could use one. Go ahead and let's hear one. Okay, I feel better now. All right? Go to the book of Joel. Book of Joel. And I just felt like the Lord, and I kept praying about this, and I know we've got other services, maybe, but this morning, and I just felt like I need to read these scriptures and share this little sermon with you, and I appreciate young folks staying in here. I mean, not that I want, if I'd have felt like asking them all, would have. But there's, they go through great trials, too. And I want them to listen to me this morning. I want to try to throw something out here that'll help us in this horrible hour that we live in. And it won't be long. We'll be done. But I want you to look at Joel chapter 1. And it says, the scripture says, I want to, the first few verses now. I know, I heard the prayer request this morning. Did y'all feel that somber spirit in here as we was giving prayer request? How many felt it? I heard a few amens, a few nod their head. But I really felt a somber, heavy spirit in here when we come in. How many, did anybody else feel it? And I know Sister Bailey has maybe made the crossing, you know. And I know the heaviness of that. I do know, I realize that probably is some of it. It does, Brother Robert. It's just something you know. And what I'm going to read to you a few verses this morning is don't sound too encouraging. But don't quit till I get done reading, okay? But I think we're in an hour, I know we are, that Satan is working overtime. You remember him? He is working overtime to suppress, oppress, compress, and depress anybody that he can. There's a spirit of heaviness. How many knows there's a spirit of heaviness? Amen, in our land. There is a spirit of heaviness in our land. That's right. Now, saying that, and I don't know hardly you'd understand if you understood what was inside of me right now. It's hard to get it out sometimes. But I want you to look at Joel chapter 1 and I'm going to begin reading verse number 8. Lament like a virgin girded with sackcloth for the husband of her youth. The meat offering and the drink offering is cut off from the house of the Lord. The priests, the Lord's ministers, mourn. The field is wasted. The land mourneth, and the corn is wasted. The new wine is dried up, and the oil languisheth. Be ashamed, O ye husbandmen. How, O ye vine dressers. Now you understand with me that this is talking naturally about the crops had died. There had been a famine, a drought. Amen. And he brings it back to that. He starts it at the house of the Lord. He said this drought, this dryness, this this lack of fruit in the field has made its way to the house of God. And he said, now the meat offering and the drink offering is cut off because the field is wasted and languishing. I know this is talking in a sense natural, but it also has a very deep spiritual implication. And I'm going to preach this to you if the Lord will help me. But I want you to notice what he said and my text and what I feel like preaching to you this morning, amen, is on over in here a little bit. But I want you to notice he points out, amen, and now talking in a spiritual sense, how many knows that our world, our country, our government, our leadership, amen, is going through a time, amen, of drought. But brother, it's not only affecting the White House and the courthouse, it's affecting your house and the church house. Amen. Help me just a minute here to get started. I'm going to preach to you if I can. I'd like for you to pay attention if you will. You say, brother, don't be rude. I'm trying not to be rude. I'm just feeling so urgent, amen, to talk to somebody in this house this morning. Amen. You say, well, you've been like that the last several weeks. That's right. It ain't wore off of me yet. And I want to preach to you, but I want you to notice. Amen. And this morning I came with this burning on my heart and said, Lord, where am I going to find a place to preach this? And he said, and I just felt the Lord say, man, what do you mean find a place to preach it? There's the pulpit, and there's the Bible, and there's the audience. Amen. So here we go, praise God. This may be the last, amen, chance we get. You say, brother, don't be, amen. But listen, there's something in this scripture, amen, that I feel like the Lord wants us to see. I know we're in a land where it says, and he names these things off. He said, in the house of God, there's no meat offering and no drink offering. Now, I look that up, and every day in the Levitical priesthood, they had to bring a lamb every evening, every morning. And that lamb was to be offered every day, called the daily sacrifice. God expected that. And we know what that was. Amen. That was symbolism, amen, of the Lamb of God and the sacrifice of Christ in our life. Amen. We can't just do a one-time thing here. It's got to be a daily thing that we must petition God and we must offer God our lives every day of our life. Can you say amen? And those sacrifices must be made, amen, with meal, which was the meat offering, and wine, the grape juice, amen, which was the drink offering. Now, what those are, they represent, help me preach a little bit here, amen, what that represents, amen, is the sacrificial lamb must be offered, amen, with these things that are pleasant and pleasing and joyful and the fruit of our labor. But now the field is dried up. The oil languisheth. The wine is dried up. Amen. There's not any joy in the house of God. There's no praise in the house of God. We go through the motion, but the way God intended it to be, amen, is dried up in the house of God. Oh, somebody say praise the Lord. I want to preach to you. Now let's read on just a little. The field is wasted. And notice what he said. He pointed the finger at the husbandmen and the vineyard keepers. And he said, be ashamed. How? For the wheat and the barley and the harvest of the field is perished. The vine is dried up. The fig tree languisheth. The pomegranate tree, the palm tree, the apple tree. All the trees of the field are withered. Now here's the text. How many sees it? It says, because joy is withered away from the sons of men. Now, you might ask, which came first? Well, I think that scripture pretty well explains where the problem started. It said, because all of this is withered away because the joy of the sons of men have withered. I hear you. Now, brother, we're not charismatic here. Well, we are not. Whatever that is. Exactly. Huh? You mean you're going to preach in this dry service on the joy of the Lord? I am. I really am. Huh? You say, hey, are y'all listen up now. Listen up. We're here to have church. Let's have church. Come on now. Listen to me. The reason I keep getting your attention is because I felt God prompt me that you needed this. Huh? Help me preach a little bit. You know, I've had young children come to me. More than one. I need prayer. I can't sleep at night. I'm depressed. You don't believe that, do you? Oh, yeah. How many of you believe that I'm telling you right? I'm not talking about teenagers, Brother Matt. I'm talking about young children. I'm depressed. I'm sad. I can't help but think sad thoughts. I want to tell you something. Hey, man, we have a world. Listen to me. We have a world full of tears. We have a world full of trouble. Man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Yes, yes, we are. Amen. But I want to tell you, amen, tears is not the end of the story. The Bible said weeping may endure for the night. Amen. But joy comes in the morning. Amen. You say, preacher, how can we be joyful, amen, in a land like this, and in as much trouble as going on? Now, I'm not talking about joking, amen, and humor, amen, and I'm not talking about, amen, just a witty tale that causes you to chuckle. I'm not even talking about happiness, amen, because happiness is really overrated, amen, because if your life is not going to be of any quality unless you're just happy all the time, then you're not going to have much of a life. I'm not talking about happiness. I'm talking about the joy of the Lord. Amen. Come on now. Amen. You say, preacher, what do you mean? The Bible said the joy is withered away, amen, from the sons of men. That's where it started. It started when we lost, amen, the joy of the Lord out of their life. What did David pray? Amen. When he went out on the roof and he sinned against God, amen, there was something taken out of his life. The Holy Spirit was taken out of his life. The joy of the Lord was taken out of his life. Amen. He went through the motions. And then one day David said, Lord, amen, wash me in hyssop. Y'all going to help me preach? Amen. Cleanse me and I'll be cleansed. Amen. Wash me in hyssop and I'll be whole. Restore, amen, unto me the joy, amen, of thy salvation. Amen. And take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Amen. I tell you, the Spirit of the Lord, amen, is like the wine in this field. When it dries up out of our life, amen, then we become depressed and oppressed and confused and burdened. Amen. Come on now. It is not God's will. Amen. Come on now. It is not God's will. Amen. For you to have no joy. Amen. Help me preach a little. Amen. I got this message a few weeks ago, and I don't mean to embarrass my daughter. She might have ought to went on to class. Amen. But she was struggling one night about midnight. Amen. Honey, you won't be mad at me, will you? She asked me not to mention her name. But amen. But she'd know who I was talking about. Amen. But it hasn't been just her. Amen. But Beck, you're here. You remember when you were about her age. Amen. And the torture of the devil. Amen. As he had depressed your life. Amen. Help me preach a little bit. Amen. All of my children have made that trip, Brother Marshall, at one time another, Dad. Amen. I when Kenzie come to me the other night, I felt a righteous indignation rise up in me. Amen. Because I knew there was a devil that was trying to dampen this little 11-year-old girl's joy. And brother, I felt God say, this is not my will. And I began to preach her this sermon that I'm preaching to you this morning. Amen. I said, honey, amen, circumstances will never be just right in this old wide world. But there is a joy deeper than this world. There's a joy that is created in heaven that God can put in your life. Amen. Jesus said, rejoice not because the devils are subject to you, but rejoice because your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I wish somebody would say, amen. Brother, we come to church. Amen. We realize we're saved, redeemed. Amen. From our sins. Let the devil howl. But I've got joy in my life. Somebody say amen. Even this morning we come, and I won't be long. Even this morning we come, amen, this morning, Brother Robert, with tears in his eyes. You know what Randy Webb knows, Brother Mac. I know Brother Robert,
And I've been here where he's at, and he's been here where he's at. He's going to weep tears this morning, and we're going to be touched and weep with him. But we do not sorrow as others, which have no hope. Amen. But down deep inside, and Brother Robert, you raise your hand if I'm telling you right. Amen. There is a deep settled joy, amen, in your life, because your little grandmother was the sweetest lady you know. Amen. And she made her call in election sure. Amen. Come on now. I want to preach to you this morning. I know this world is wearing you out. I know there's a spirit of heaviness, but he's going to take that spirit of heaviness and give you a garment of praise. Are you listening to me? You say it can't be done. It can be done. Amen. I don't believe it'll happen. It will happen. Amen. Weeping may endure, but he that goeth forth weeping, amen, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing.
The Holy Ghost right here. You know what? When I dealt with my little girl, and I prayed for some of y'all's little girls. You know what I felt the Lord say when I, and Kenzie probably may not even remember when I went to telling her these scriptures, and Lord started giving me this sermon right there. And the Lord told me, when I bid you, there's some adults in your church that are depressed. I want you to preach this scripture to them. I don't have to take candidates, because I know every one of you has been there at one time or another. You see, when the devil brings a cloud between you and the heavens, and your faith is tried and tested, and you think, what if I die? What if I go broke? What if my health fails? What if my companion leaves me? What if? What if my friends turn against me? What if? What if my house burns down? What if I lose strength in my right hand? What if? Oh, come on, friend. We can't live in the land of what if. We put no fear in it. We do not fear tomorrow, but today. And the Bible said, this is the day the Lord has made, and let us do what? Don't fold our hands and give up and quit. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You say, well, I'm just not emotional. You can rejoice, can't you? You can be glad, can't you? Amen. Come on now. I'm not talking about an artificial, amen, going down to the comedy barn and getting a big laugh, amen, for 30 minutes and lose $20. I'm talking about at your bed at night when the Spirit of God comes in, amen, and gives you that assurance, blessed assurance, so divine, amen. Don't let me scare you now, amen. I'll tell you what, I have the joy of the Lord in my life, and I'll tell you what it's been to me. It is strength. You mean you never cried? You've seen me cry. You've seen me so broke down, I couldn't hardly get on my feet, amen. But brother, the joy of the Lord is still there. Amen. And when the smoke cleared, amen, come on now. And the devil had to back off. Amen. The joy of the Lord shined through. Amen. Come on now. Amen. There's joy in salvation. You know why you ought to do everything in your power to hang on to your salvation? Because that's where the joy of the Lord. Oh, if I could have me a nice boat and some jet skis. And if I could have a, you know, and there's, you know, stuff is, how many has lived long enough to know that stuff don't satisfy very long? That's human nature. Hey, man, kid, get a brand new pair of tennis shoes and wear them 2 weeks. And, man, them old shoes, I wish I had ones I saw a little girl wear at school, had the lights in the heel when you stomped on them, the light. And so you buy the ones with the lights in the heel, and then they come out with some in the toe. Ooh, heel to toe, toe to heel. Huh, it wears you out, don't it? Trying to keep up with it. I'd like to meet those Joneses. I'd say, well, you back off a little, you're killing me. Huh? How many knows that joy is not in stuff? Amen. Amen. You say, well, I don't know about this preacher. You know where I first read about shouting for joy? Job said it like this. He said, God said to Job, where were you when I've made the foundation of the earth? And Job just had to sleep.
Where were you when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God sang for joy? Now, what is that supposed to mean? That's when all of God's angels and all the stars and all the creation was standing around and saw him create the heaven and the earth. And you know what they did when they realized, amen, what God could do? You know, that's why we come in here on a flat tire and got a cracked head in the motor and don't know what we're going to ride to church the next day. And the Spirit of God get to moving and our hands go up and we begin to worship God. And somebody might look around and say, what's he got to praise God about? Well, he ain't praising God about a broke down car, but he's praising God, amen, because deep inside, he knows a God that can do anything, a God that can do anything, that can make something out of nothing. And you know what he did? Amen, he may not have had the victory per se right there in his hands, but he knew a God that could do it. And he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Come on now. You know why we have the joy of the Lord, and the devil will depress our children, and he'll take their faith. But brother, around this altar, amen, if we can believe in Jesus Christ, and he rose again the third day, amen, and he said, I leave unto you my joy. I leave unto you my joy. Hallelujah. Joy of what? I shall come again and receive you unto myself. There's joy. Huh? Help me preach a little bit. Come on, church. Am I preaching right to you or not? Huh? That's why Brother Fondren could say there's some things worth the pain. Hallelujah. I'm not going to preach much longer, but I want you to get this. You see, this harvest represented, when it talked about the oil, how many knows what oil signified in the Old Testament types and shadows? The oil represented the Spirit of God, the anointing of the Lord. Huh? That's right. That's why when the angels came to those shepherds in the field, he says, I give unto you good tidings with great joy. Because Christ is over here in the manger. He's come to save this whole wide world. Hey, if this world... Amen. A lot of times we say, how's the world treating you? The other day I called somebody and said, well, how's the world treating you? They said, well, they're kicking me in the gut and pulling my hair and knocked all my teeth out. But the Lord still loves me. Huh? Hey, how many knows if you still got the Lord? You can just talk through some toothless face and say, praise the Lord, children. God's good. Huh? Y'all ain't getting this, are you? Amen. It breaks my heart. And I'm bitter. You say, it has nothing to do with personality. And I did not win the lottery this week. You know why? I didn't play. Huh? The only scratching I do is when I get to itching to preach. Huh? That's right. Praise God. I'll just take the Lord. Amen. That's why, amen. And not only in the life to come, amen, we can't just mope around here with our head down and say, well, I can't wait till Jesus comes or I die. Come on now. Amen. I've got him this morning. Amen. I felt him in my heart when I woke up. Oh, yeah, I was tired. My head was heavy. Amen. I was. I staggered around. I stumbled and leaned in the shower. Amen. But I'll tell you what, I'm still saved. Amen. The devil's barked and chased. Amen. All week long. Amen. But I'm still saved. Amen. Come on now. The blessings of the Lord, they make us rich and add no solitude. Amen. How about the blessings of God? Amen. How about the future, the hope of the future? Amen. I'll tell you what we need. We need the same thing. Amen. They needed in the New Testament. You remember Jesus when he went to the wedding? Amen. You know, wedding, I know it's getting to be different. But weddings usually symbolize happiness. If any couple are going to be satisfied with each other, it's usually on their wedding day. Oh, man. I remember, Brother Charlie, don't tell Todd I said this. But we were in the room getting ready to get married, and he married a great little girl. Todd's a great guy. He's got great parents sitting back here. He's got great little brother, great little sister.
I just looked at old Todd, me and him in there by ourselves, you know, getting ready to come out and get married. I mean, him all tied up in that penguin outfit. You know, and funny how these hillbillies here in Virginia, I remember when Henry Stiltner walked Jennifer down the aisle. Joe, you here? Buddy, I just about paid for the wedding to see old Henry standing there in that old monkey suit, growling and grumbling, and even blame me for it somehow or another. I said, Henry, I have nothing to do with it. You got the book in your head. You're going to be the one to do it. And him standing there, I don't know what they had on him, big old black suit, maybe a pastel blue vest, and that big old black beard. And I thought, buddy, your sight. Huh? But weddings just bring out the best in us, don't they? And I'll tell you, I don't care what they look like. When I'm standing up here looking out and that bride comes to the door and that white, I'm telling you, from where I'm standing, she's beautiful. Hallelujah. Huh? And here stands an old guy just grinning like a possum up here. You know, boy, looking back there, and all of a sudden he don't see nobody else. I remember asking Todd in there. I said, Todd, can I ask you something? I said, do you know what you're doing? And man, that got him, Brother Charlie. I just kept kidding with him, you know. And he was trying to find words, and I could see he was saying, well, I thought I had this prayed out. What's coming here now? And I said, you don't have to answer that. You don't know what you're doing. And I said, it's no crime, because there ain't nobody can know until they've jumped the broom. Huh? Ain't that right? Right. Try to tell them, brothers, you ain't got enough time. I'm glad Jerry's in there. Do you? Huh? That's right. Amen. Jesus went to these weddings because it was the right thing to do. Make a public confession. Amen. This is going to be my one and only the rest of my life. Amen. And it was a time of celebration. But you know what happened in that wedding? Amen. All of a sudden they got to the celebration and they ran out of the thing in the celebration that added the extra celebration spirit to it. I'm not talking about intoxicating wine, but it was just a refreshing, amen, treat, amen, to have something besides a water out of an old dusty well. Amen. And you know what they do? Amen. They take them earthen vessels, fill them up with that grape juice out of that harvest, and they'd put a cork in it and seal it with pitch around that cork, and they'd put a string on it and drop it down in them old deep wells, amen, and there in the bottom of that well, they'd leave them wine bottles hanging, and they would get chilled through by that water, and then when they had the wedding, they'd go out and put their hands on them ropes, and they'd pull that wine up out of there. It wasn't for daily, amen, partaking, amen, but it was for special occasions. This is the new wine. Amen. Help me preach a little bit. And they'd break that cork and pull that sparkling cold, amen, treat into a glass and share it with their neighbors. But you know what happened? They ran out of wine. It so upset Jesus' mother, amen, that he went to Jesus. She did. And say, they have no wine. That's all she had to say. Amen. Jesus said, woman, what do I have to do with thee? Amen. My hour is not yet. But brother, there was such a need and such a craving, and it was just right, amen, to have wine at that wedding, amen, that Christ turned the water, amen, into wine, amen. Can I tell you, amen, in the Holiness Church, we've got the rules, and we've kept them, and we'd be better keep them, but we don't just keep the rules, amen, without the wine. Somebody say amen. Amen. For the law killeth, and the Spirit maketh alive. Amen. I wish I could preach to you. Amen. We need the joy of the Lord. I said the joy of the Lord is our strength. I said the joy of the Lord is a fruit of the Spirit. If you don't have joy, you may not have the Spirit. Hallelujah. I got good news for you in the book of Joel. Listen to this right here. Now, I know you say, well, preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. I'm not talking about just putting on a fake smile. That hurts my face. To hold that all day, have to brush your teeth so clean. Huh? Hold that old upper lip. God bless you. Yes, everything's. I can't do that. How many knows I can't do that? I come in here and the old bags under my eyes, I have trip over them nearly. Huh?
I can't hide it like that. I wouldn't make a good hypocrite. I can't fake it. But I want to tell you, hey man, we don't have to fake the joy of the Lord. They have no wine. Are you here without wine this morning? He said, preacher, I'm living as good as anybody I know how. I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that. He said, well, things ain't going right. I don't doubt that either. But what can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus? Can life, death, principalities, powers, things present, things to come? Nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. How many understands what I'm preaching this morning? I'm telling you, we come in here tonight. I'm not trying to make you be something, do something. I'm not. But I'm telling you, we can come to the house of God. Amen. Just like I told my little child. I said, you're right with the Lord. You're saved. Think about what that means. I said, when them old sad thoughts come, just think about good things. And I quoted that scripture, whatsoever things are pure and honest, of a good report, whatsoever things are lovely. Hey, man, how many knows? And it's hard for a young person, amen, to master that. And it's hard for us to master it. But how many knows that God did give us the unique ability to think about what we want to? Huh? Oh, the devil will plug that in there. And you look in the mirror and you'll see splotches on your face and you'll say, cancer's back. And it'll worry you, huh? But I'll tell you what, we can push that off and say, though you slay me, Lord, I'm going to trust you. If I die, I'm going to live for you, huh? Is that right? The joy of the Lord. What is the joy of the Lord? Amen. Christ in us, the hope of glory. He is our joy. And not only that, I've found this lately. I'm almost done. Y'all still have? Paul looked at his converts at one city. I can't remember which one it was. But he said, you are my crown of rejoicing. When I look at you and how God has helped you and changed you, I rejoice. You know, we come to church sometimes and look over the aisle at each other like, did you get my joy? You looked at me bad and you took my joy. Now look, if you got a neighbor that can look at you bad and steal your joy, you ain't got it in a very safe place. And I ain't sure you even had it. You see, because no man can meddle with our joy. They can take your happiness by getting your parking spot. Huh? Yeah. They can get your happiness by running a red light and almost hitting my fender. Can't you see me here? Well, they just took your happiness right off and run off with it, galloping down the road with it. But if you got the joy of the Lord, that it don't leave that early and that easy. It has to do with the Son of God. I felt like preaching to you this morning. How many felt it? How many felt that? How many feels this message in you? God don't want you. The Bible said when hope is deferred, it makes the heart sick. But when, amen, the desire cometh, it's a tree of life. Amen. It ain't always going to be like it is for you today. So rejoice. God knows where you're at. He knows your name. He sees where you are. He's not going to leave you. Would you stand with me this morning? I don't want to linger on and on and on.